It's time for Coordinator's Corner, only on your 24/7 audio home of the Pittsburgh Steelers, SNR. Now, here's Adam Crowley.
Welcome into a playoff edition of Coordinator's Corner here on your 24/7 home of the Pittsburgh Steelers, SNR, as the Steelers get set to take on the Miami Dolphins. Now, for the second time in the 2016-2017 season, Steelers defensive coordinator Keith Butler certainly had his hands full the first time. Let's see what he's got in his back pocket this time around. He chats with our very own Missy Matthews from Steelers.com to open up this edition of Coordinator's Corner.
Anything you liked or didn't like from the Browns game?
I didn't like nothing about the Browns game.
I didn't think so.
It's hard to play in that type of game because of the human nature. You know, some guys are playing, some guys not. You know, some guys feel like maybe they shouldn't be playing, all that stuff, feeling sorry for themselves. We did not play well at all, and we've got to play a whole lot better than we did last week. I'm glad we're past that, and we won. We got out with a win. I'm certainly glad of that, and I'm glad the thing's over with and done, and we're on to the next one. We just got to simply play better. We got to be a lot more in tune to what we're doing, and, this is a one-and-done deal. This is sudden death for us, and we've got to play like it.
Safe to assume, though, you don't have to tell your players that, you know, put the Browns in the past,
right.
Focus on the Dolphins, this
right.
is it. You don't have to say that, right?
Well, I'm going to mention the fact that we didn't play well. Sure, I'm going to tell
them.
They need to know that. I've always been honest with them, and I'm going to be honest with them again and let them know if we do the same thing we did last week, this guy that ran for 200 yards on us last time we played him will do
right.
the same thing this time. So we can't do that. We can't have somebody run for 200 yards on us. That's not – us. We've got to be a good defense in terms of stopping the run, forcing people to pass, and then getting after them when they pass.
That's what Coach Tomlin said. That wasn't a lightning strike. It's not something that just happened once.
Right.
There's a continued pattern. So
mm-hmm.
how much do you go back and look at that week 6 loss in Miami and then look at recent stuff with the Dolphins?
Well, you can't repeat what you did. You know, you got to make sure that everybody's where they're supposed to be, when they're supposed to be there. And our guys need to understand that we can't let them control the ball, let them run the ball the way they did because, play action becomes a factor and stuff like that. And them going downfield with the ball becomes a factor. They went downfield, I think, once or twice on us, caught a couple of balls that maybe they shouldn't have caught. We had a sack one time. He got loose, he threw it downfield. He got us. So we gave up some big plays in that game that we cannot afford to do in this game.
How has their O-line changed without Mike Pouncey in it?
Oh, it's a big difference. Mike Pouncey is a good center for him. He does a good job for him, has done a good job for him, making all the calls and all that stuff. So it's going to be different for them, a little bit harder for him, I think. It's hard to replace somebody like him. So, we got to try to do what we can to take advantage of it.
In terms of missed tackles, that mm-hmm. Week 6 game, mm-hmm. was that one of the biggest reasons, not tackling
some of
running
it was.
Backs?
Some of it was, and some of it was not replacing and getting where we need to be in the running game and stuff like that. We got cut off a couple of times. They're what we call a zone team, mm-hmm. outside zone team, and they do a good job with the running back. He does a good job in running to the C-gaps, and if you give it to him, he'll take it. And he's very physical. He was more physical than they were more physical than we were in the game last time we played them. That's got to change this game.
How do you coach that up to explain that you need to be physical? You need to win at the line of scrimmage.
They need to. I think it's very easy once you present them with the evidence,
mm-hmm.
of why they got to do that. And we're going to do that. We're going to show them, how we played last time and how we got to play this time to advance in the playoffs.
Coach Tomlin said that Jarvis Landry plays kind of with that mentality of Hines Ward. Do you see that as well? And
yes, no
how
doubt.
Much is he showing up on tape?
Oh, he's showing up a lot on tape. He no doubt about comparison to Hines. He's a very competitive guy. I like his attitude for an offensive guy. He's very aggressive. He wants the ball. He's hard to get on the ground. He's very strong. We've tried to tackle him a couple of times he runs through people as well as their running back. Both of them do that, and that's what I mean. They're physical. They're a physical offense, and we've got to match their physicality.
I know the saying around here is always, you know, whatever stadium and whatever time they tell us to show up, we're going to show up to play a game. But how much does it help to have a normal schedule playing on a Sunday where the days don't change?
It's great. You know, it's
for
great.
You or yeah. for the players
well,
or both?
For me, yeah, in terms of preparation and for the players too, for both of us. You know, you get in tune with the schedule that you've done all year for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
There's aberrations. You know, sometimes we play on Monday night. Sometimes we play on Thursday night.
Sure.
Sometimes we play on Sunday night, you know, or Sunday afternoon. So it's always good to me. I always like playing at 1 o'clock on Sunday afternoon. And so it's good for us. We'll get them in here at Heinz Field. It'll be good for our fans. Be a great atmosphere. Great place to be. And we just gotta you know produce.
What's the biggest thing you're gonna preach to your defense this week?
Tackling and getting to the ball and swarming the ball carrier.
Swarming, I think, is your new word of this season.
That's an old word. It's an old word. It's been used way back when I was playing. That was a long time ago. So I think we all got to get to the ball and tackle and be physical. We got to be physical in this game. We got to be the most physical team on the field.
In terms of their quarterbacks, do you prepare for everybody and anybody?
Well, yeah, you can't, you know, you don't know what's going to happen with them. You know, everybody says this and
right.
that and all that stuff. You know, but the guy they got right now has won two of the three games they played. So, you know, it's not like they're hurting that bad without him.
Mm-hmm.
So, we're going to prepare, and whoever shows up, we'll play them.
Does anything change much with their offense?
I don't think so. I think it hasn't changed much since we've played them. You know, and they're still going to do the same things, things that they do well, and they've been successful at doing it. Got them in the playoffs, so we've got to be able to play.
Lastly, how hard was it to tell James Harrison he wasn't allowed to play in Week 17?
Oh,
or is that not your job?
No, it's not my job, but, Coach Tomlin and him have a relationship that there's no it's all totally honest, you know, and they mm-hmm. can speak to each other, so it is not that big of a deal. You know, it probably would be good for him to watch. Sometimes he's over there coaching too much, but it's good for him to watch every now and then.
All right, Coach Butler, thanks so much. Good luck this weekend.
All right.
Steelers defensive coordinator Keith Butler talking brownies and talking about the upcoming playoff matchup in the wild card weekend against the Miami Dolphins. When we come back, it's Danny Smith, Steelers special teams coordinator, with Bob Labriola of Steelers.com. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Coordinator's Corner right here on SNR.
For some, football is a hobby. For Tunchilkin and Craig Wolfley, football is a lifestyle.
And the Steelers and the crowd are celebrating.
Get behind the walls of the UPMC Rooney Sports Complex and into the locker room with Tunch and Wolf for the best analysis that this town has to offer. Weekdays from 10 to 2, Tunch and Wolf give you a unique perspective that only two former Steelers can provide as they break down last week's game and look ahead to the next Steelers foe. SNR, available on the iHeartRadio app. It's time for Coordinator's Corner, only on your 24/7 audio home of the Pittsburgh Steelers, SNR. Now, here's Adam Crowley.
Welcome back to another edition of Coordinator's Corner, this time a playoff edition of Coordinator's Corner. Joining us now is Steelers special teams coordinator Danny Smith, talking with our very own Bob Labriola from Steelers Digest and Steelers.com.
The Steelers going into the playoffs for the third straight year. Heading into this particular postseason, what are the strengths of the special teams units?
Oh, it's exciting. You know, I mean, it's exciting, and really you start back at point zero. You know, we'll find out what the strengths are when we get in the ball game, to be honest with you. You know, the preparation, you know, everything picks up. The play, the detail, the preparation, everything picks up. We endure that football right now, and it's a select group that gets there. Our players have done a great job to get us that opportunity, and now we got to make good on it and go to work.
Playoffs are single elimination. So does that change the thinking with regards to special teams? I mean, in this sense, is it more about, you know, making the routine plays, you know, doing all of the, you know, don't put the offense or defense in a hole, make the kicks you're supposed to make, you know what I mean? Just try and kind of I don't know, avoid the disasters that end up on a scoreboard.
That's a formula for winning, you know, whether we're in a preseason, regular season, or postseason, really. But, yes, you know, it's just the intensity of it picks up. But you're more opportunity to take chances, too, because it's do or die. You know, you get in a tough situation in the game, you know, in order to go on to the next round, sometimes you got to take a chance that maybe you normally wouldn't because, you know, we say, you know, we don't want to carry that thing back to the car with us. We don't want to carry that in our pocket back to the locker room with us. You know, we're going to shoot all the guns and come out blazing. So, you know, I think there's that mentality too. And, again, it's not to be, you know, cute. It's not to be stupid. It's just, you know, what do we got to do to win this football game, period. And sometimes you have a couple of things that you'd like to do or try, and they become a must in a critical situation in a playoff game.
What makes special teams unique, though, is you get to do offense and defense. Well, like Todd Haley is only offense. So what you were talking about, you know, teams maybe being desperate, using all the bullets in the gun, you got to be prepared to deal with that on the other end, too.
Yeah, you do, you know, and again, that's the attention to detail that special teams requires. You know, I tell the players all the time, it's a one-play series. You know, your stuff got to be right and tight on that particular play. Just as an example, offensively, you know, you can get sacked on first down. It could be second and 25. You still have a chance to recover. They could take a run down to the one-yard line, and we stop them. The defense has a chance to recover. On special teams, there's no recovery rate. You know, it's a one-play series. You got to be ready. You got to be right. You got to be now. And our players will play with that mentality.
How did you settle on Kobe Hamilton as on kickoff returns in place of Sammy Coates?
Well, Sammy didn't dress. You know,
right,
Sammy
I know.
Was inactive for the game, so, you know, we didn't really have a choice there, you know. But, you know, we try to go with a hot guy. You know, we're trying to find a guy, you know, to give us some consistency there. It's not a mix and match, you know, kind of situation, kind of preparation, if you will. But, you know, we go with the best guy in practice, the guy who's working, the guy that understands, you know, attention to detail, all those kind of things. But we really didn't have much of a choice, to be quite honest with you. You know, we were limited in numbers in some base situations. So, you know, Kobe got his opportunity last week.
Are there any specific physical traits you're looking for in a kickoff returner? Like Sammy didn't dress, okay, so you're trying to – or even in practice when you're trying to decide who takes reps there. Are there traits you're looking for?
Yeah, there is, you know, and it's a different build really than a punt returner. You know, you need a guy, first of all, that can catch football because it's all about timing. And if your timing's off, you're going to struggle. And, you know, if you bobble a ball, drop a ball, and you got to bring it, you know, it screws up the timing. And, you know, those kind of situations are difficult to recover from. So you got to have a guy that can catch a ball. You know, obviously you want to have a guy with vision. You got to have a guy with some ball skills. You got to have some guy with some running skills. You got to have a guy that can break a tackle. And then you're always looking for the guy that can take it the distance. You know, that sounds like, you know, some Superman. And it is. That's who we're looking for. You know, that kind of guy that can do all those things. And if you look at the guys that have had track records at doing those things and are successful over long periods of time in their career, those are those kind of guys.
What's Fitz Toussaint's role on kickoff returns? Can you explain it to the fans?
Well, it differs, you know, really game to game. You know, it differs in a situation whether we can predict where the ball is going to be, you know, whether he's a returner, whether he's a blocker, you know, whether he's a lead, you know, guy, those kind of things. So really, honestly, it differs, you know, game to game of what we ask them to do based on the coverage, based on the kick, based on the balls in play. You know, based on, you know, where the predictability is of where a ball is going to be. We chart every kick for the year. You know, we know so many are left, so many are middle, so many are right. I can tell you that on every guy we play. You know, and you hope that the game unfolds like that because that's how you prepare for. So his preparation, you know, differs, you know, really week to week.
How's it determined, like what distance? Okay, you're going to – I'm still talking about kickoffs. Yeah, I'm bringing it out. Or I'm going to take the touchback, or is it distance?
It's a combination of things. You know, how good are you at returning, first of all? How good are they at covering? You know, what's the situation in the game? You know, what's the hang time? What do you have called? You know, say you got a ball one deep. You're on the left side. It's a right return. Is that smart to bring out? You know, you got to evaluate that. You know, this week it is, next week it ain't, or whatever it might be. So there's a lot of factors that go into those things that we rehearse through the course of the week and, you know, carry them into the game.
What's the most it's the Miami Dolphins, the opponent on Sunday here at Heinz Field. You played them once. I think think it was October 16th was the date down there. What's the most dangerous aspect of the Dolphins special teams?
They're good. I mean, they really are. I think they're very well coached. Darren Rizzi and Maloof, the two coaches that they have, they do an excellent job. I think they're a physical team. I think they play with great motors. They got good athletes. They're good tacklers. They have good quality returners. I think they're a solid group that we're going to have to be on our game and that we'll match up with.
Steelers special teams coordinator Danny Smith. When we come back, it's Todd Haley, the offensive coordinator of your Pittsburgh Steelers. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to your 24/7 home of the Pittsburgh Steelers, SNR. It's Coordinator's Corner.
For some, football is a hobby. For Tunch Ilkin and Craig Wolfley, football is a lifestyle.
And the Steelers and the crowd are celebrating.
Get behind the walls of the UPMC Rooney Sports Complex and into the locker room with Tunch and Wolf for the best analysis that this town has to offer. Weekdays from 10 to 2, Tunch and Wolf give you a unique perspective that only two former Steelers can provide as they break down last week's game and look ahead to the next Steelers foe. SNR, available on the iHeartRadio app. It's time for Coordinator's Corner, only on your 24/7 audio home of the Pittsburgh Steelers, SNR. Now, here's Adam Crowley.
It is Coordinator's Corner here on SNR. We've heard from Danny Smith, Steelers special teams coordinator. We've heard from Keith Butler, Steelers defensive coordinator. Now, Todd Haley, the offensive coordinator of your Pittsburgh Steelers, sitting down with Bob Labriola from Steelers Digest and Steelers.com.
Looking back, did you find any value in going over the video from the Browns game, or has it been full steam ahead on the Dolphins?
No, I think there's always value in looking at the tape. You know, we got a lot of young guys in this group. We've talked about it a bunch throughout the year. A bunch of those young guys got to play a bunch in that game. And, you know, there's always corrections to be made. You know, that being said, I thought you know, it's hard to win in the NFL. We won a game with a lot of guys that don't get to play a whole bunch at skill positions, and it's a big win for us.
Watching it from the sideline as it was happening, can you allow yourself to feel good for Landry Jones bringing the team down at the end like that, throwing a game-winning touchdown pass?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's awesome. You know, Landry's a great human being that's around here working hard every single week, week in, week out. Been here a number of years. He got an opportunity to not only get his first win, a big win for us that got us 4-0 in the final quarter of the season. You know, but we knew it was a big moment for him, especially in the fashion in which he got the win.
Did he reveal anything about himself to you with that performance, or is it just reaffirming maybe what you thought all along?
I think he built off the New England game. You know, it ended not the way he wanted it to or we did, but we saw a lot of growth in that game. And then he got another shot, and I think he showed a lot of growth from that performance and put the finishing touch on this one. And again, I think it was great for him, great for us.
Who do you think's more excited about Le'Veon Bell being healthy for these playoffs, you or Le'Veon?
I don't know if that could be quantified, but you know, I know we're all excited that we're able to go into this playoff relatively healthy, looking back, you know, on some of the situations that we've been in the past. But that being said, it's not going to happen because we have him on the field or have Ben or have AB. It's going to happen because we make it happen, and that's what we got to make sure that we're working on, have worked on throughout the week to get ready to go and play our best football. That's the name of the game in the tournament, is the teams that get hot, so to speak, or, you know, are usually the teams playing their best, and it gives you a chance to beat anybody.
Did any of the young receivers prove anything to you over the last couple of weeks of the regular season? And, you know, Eli Rogers, DeMarcus Ayers, Kobe Hamilton, just to name three.
Yeah, I think they've shown a lot throughout the season. Kobe Hamilton, a guy that, you know, we didn't even have through most of training camp, really worked himself into a role by doing the things the way that he was supposed to do them. He stayed healthy, and he got opportunity and was able to make a big play in the game last week. D.A., you know, continued to grow on the practice squad. I saw the switch go off with him in such a positive manner. fairly early in the season, and he just waited for his opportunity, got it, and he was able to make some big plays for us in the last couple games. Eli's continued to grow. He's probably had more opportunities than all of them, and he's done a very good job with it. Made some arguably some of the bigger plays for us down the stretch.
October 16th, you played the Dolphins down in Florida. As you looked at it and remembered, what went wrong offensively in that game?
Really, it was probably our, you know, if not our worst, one of our worst games of the year. You know, we knew against that group on the road, we were trying to prove something on the road, and you got to start fast. You know, we had mental errors right out of the gate. You know, I think for the game, you know, 15, 16 mental errors, which is not winning football. We had we were sacked a couple times. We had a couple turnovers. Just did things that kept us from playing anywhere close to our potential. You know, looking back, it was a positive because we were able to learn a lot. I think the guys were able to learn a lot from that game and grow from it. And, you know, now we get a second chance.
What kinds of things do you define as mental errors? What does that mean?
Missed assignments. You know, running the wrong route if you're a receiver, not making the proper adjustment, alignment, going to the wrong guy, those type of things, and they're usually costly.
Has the Miami defense changed much since October?
No, they're a pretty fundamental group. They don't do a ton. It starts with their front four, as most 4-3 teams. You know, they got their ears pinned back, and they're coming, and they got a lot of high-profile, high-pedigree players up front. So, you know, anytime you play a team like a 4-3 team like this, it starts up front, and it includes tight ends. You know, always a big, big game for them. And, you know, we gotta be at our best. But they don't do a lot, but they do it well.
The guy who ended up leading the Dolphins in interceptions, Tony Lippett, he's a second-year player, 6'3", which is kind of big for a corner, played wide receiver at Michigan State. When he came out, was he even entertained as a receiver?
Yeah, I did him. You know, he was a guy that you thought would have a chance to make it. Big, long guy, like you said, and you can see him growing just from the last time we played him. He as you would expect, you know, his ball skills are very good down the field. He's still working hard on some of the technique stuff, but pretty impressive.
How do they use him? Do they match him up, or is he a zone guy, or what?
As of now, they've stayed. You know, they've stayed on their sides. He's generally their right corner, so to our left.
Is that a it would seem to me that that's a difficult transition to make, wide receiver to cornerback at the level of football that he was making it.
Yeah, I mean, that transition generally is happened a lot earlier, and it's happening to wide receivers that can't catch. So he's a unique case, and somebody saw something, and obviously they were right on what they saw, and you got to give him credit, obviously, for being able to make the transition and be playing at a high level at this level.
Once again, their sack leader, Cameron Wake. How do they deploy him?
They don't move him a ton, but he will move, and he's just done it for a long time. You know, I think he's in the perfect system for his skill set. He has some tricks of the trade that he uses very well, and he's got just a knack for getting to that spot.
Do you view this at all like a division game? And by that I mean division teams you get to play twice, home and home. It just so happens that's the way, you know, this is working out as well. Are there any similarities to division games, or is that just am
yeah,
I just
it's
reaching?
It's something we'll talk about, you know, and because it's happening at the end of the season and we just finished playing a couple of those type games, you know, within the division, you know, it's an opportunity for us to build on just what we've been doing. You know, the biggest thing is the players have familiarity now. You know, it's different than looking at tape when you've actually played against, you know, a guy and you know some of the things he's trying to get done. And they'll have the same advantage. So I think it'll come down to who executes the best.
Good luck Sunday.
Thank you.
Steelers offensive coordinator Todd Haley. That's going to do it for Coordinator's Corner here on SNR. Thanks so much to Missy Matthews and Bob Labriola. Of course, thank you to the coordinators, Keith Butler, Danny Smith, and Todd Haley. If the Steelers beat the Dolphins, we'll be here again next week talking about the Kansas City Chiefs on your 24/7 home of the Steelers, SNR. Home of the Steelers, SNR. Home of the Steelers, SNR. Home of the Steelers.